Good morning.
Good morning.
It's a pleasure to finally be back here and to have the opportunity to be able to minister to you in the Word for today. We're going to be looking at a familiar portion of Scripture. I'm going to ask that you turn to Matthew chapter 26. We're going to be looking at verses 36 to 46. Jesus in the garden at Gethsemane. Matthew chapter 26, looking at verses 36 to 46. What we're going to do is we're going to just read through this passage of Scripture. Then we're going to pray for the Lord's help as we look at this portion of Scripture and how it applies to our lives today. All right. Matthew chapter 26, going to begin reading at verse 36. Then Jesus came with them to a place called Gethsemane and said to the disciples, "Sit here while I go and pray over there." And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, and he began to be sorrowful and deeply distressed. Then he said to them, "My soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even to death. Stay here and watch with me." He went a little further and fell on his face and prayed, saying, "O my Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will." Then he came to the disciples and found them sleeping and said to Peter, "What? Could you not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray, lest you enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak." Again, a second time he went away and prayed, saying, "O my Father, if this cup cannot pass away from me, unless I drink it, your will be done." And he came and found them asleep again, for their eyes were heavy. So he left them, went away again, and he prayed the third time, saying the same words. Then he came to his disciples and said to them, "Are you still sleeping and resting? Behold, the hour is at hand, and the Son of Man is being betrayed into the hands of sinners. Rise, let us be going. See, my betrayer is at hand." Amen. Let us look to the Lord in prayer. Dear God, our Heavenly Father, thank you for this time of fellowship that we have. Thank you, Father God, for this opportunity to give you all the honor, the glory, and the praise. We ask you now, Father God, as we look into your word, that we would open up our ears, we would open up our minds, we would open up our hearts and be attentive to your word in applying it to our lives, and that we would not be hearers of your word only, but that we would be doers of your word as well. And we ask these things in your Son, Jesus Christ's holy and precious name. Amen. You know, we all face difficult times in life. In life, we're all going to face difficult situations and circumstances. Some of us are going to face them more than others. And Scripture details the account of many of God's people who faced difficult times in their lives. And they all had to deal with making difficult decisions during those difficult times in their lives. Making difficult decisions during difficult times in your lives requires faith from the believer in Jesus Christ. Hebrews 11:1 says, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen." Faith, in other words, is believing that God is going to do what he says he's going to do, even though we haven't seen it, and even though we don't know how he's going to do it. And we demonstrate our faith in God through our action of obedience to doing what God has told us to do. Jesus is the perfect example of faith. In Hebrews chapter 12, it says that Jesus is the author and the finisher of our faith. And here in this particular portion of Scripture, we see that the Lord Jesus Christ is beginning to enter the most difficult time of his life here on earth. You see, he was about to die for the sins of the entire world. That hour of his crucifixion was drawing near. And as we look at this passage of Scripture, we see that despite his circumstances and despite the situation that he was in, Jesus remained obedient to God the Father, and he has demonstrated to us the importance of effectively communicating to God the Father through prayer prior to major decisions and difficult times in our lives. As we look at this passage, we will explore five important things that Jesus did in the garden at Gethsemane. Let's take a look at verses 36 to 39 again. Beginning at verse 36. "Then Jesus came with them to a place called Gethsemane and said to the disciples, 'Sit here while I go and pray over there.' And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, and he began to be sorrowful and deeply distressed. Then he said to them, "My soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even to death. Stay here and watch with me." He went a little further and fell on his face and prayed, saying, "Oh, my Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will." Here we see that Jesus was honest with God and with his fellow disciples about his true feelings. He expressed his feelings to God the Father through prayer, and he expressed how he felt to his disciples in his conversation. And we see the importance today, how we apply that to our lives, is that we need to be honest with God about our feelings. God already knows how we feel, but he wants us to express our feelings to him honestly. And we also should be honest with our fellow brothers and sisters in Christ about how we feel. We see that Jesus expressed his feelings to God when he says, "If it is possible, let this cup pass from me." You see, Jesus told God how he was feeling at the time. Jesus didn't feel good about the fact that he was about to experience excruciating pain on the cross. Jesus knew the cup of God's wrath was about to be poured out upon him for the sins of the entire world. Jesus, being 100% God and 100% man, in his humanity, was not happy about the excruciating pain that he was getting ready to experience. But he truly expressed that feeling that he had to God the Father. "If it is possible, let this cup pass from me." In the same way, we need to be honest with God in our prayers about how we feel. Jesus also let Peter, James, and John know how he felt when he said to them, "My soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even unto death." In the same way, we should be honest with our feelings to our fellow brothers and sisters in Christ during our conversations with them. You know, I heard a story about a guy who spoke to his friend, and he asked him, "How are you doing today?" And his friend said, "I'm not doing so good." And the gentleman said, "Great," and just went on about his business. And I think that we're conditioned in our culture to do that sometimes. And his friend had to circle back once it hit him what he said, just to ask him how things were going on in his life. And as part of our culture, you know, when we greet each other, you know, and I'm guilty of it too. It's so easy for us to say, "I'm doing well," or "I'm doing good," instead of to honestly let them know our true feelings. So we need to be able to honestly communicate with our brothers and sisters in Christ the same way Jesus did about his feelings. And it also says in Scripture that we should pray for one another and bear each other's burdens. Well, how can we pray for one another and bear each other's burdens if we don't know how we truly feel and what we're going through? We can't. So we have to, like Jesus, be honest with our fellow brothers and sisters in Christ. The second point I wanted to mention here is in verse 39, is that Jesus, despite his feelings, did not put his feelings above God's will. After Jesus expressed his feelings to God, he said, "Not my will, but your will be done." Jesus subjected himself perfectly under the authority of God the Father. Jesus was fully obedient to God, even to the point of death. What we can learn from this is that God doesn't always call us to do comfortable things. You know, God will sometimes call us in life to do things that we're uncomfortable doing. The cross was not a comfortable place for Jesus. God sent Jesus to die on the cross to pay the penalty for our sin and to provide for our salvation. But that was not a comfortable experience for him. If Jesus were to put his feelings over God's will, we would all be lost. We would all have no hope. But thanks be to God that Jesus did not put his feelings over God's will, and that he was fully obedient to the point of death. The third point I want to point out is that Jesus did not confuse his feelings with God's will. And in the same way, we shouldn't confuse our feelings with God's will. We need to be able to differentiate between our feelings and God's will. I don't know about you, but sometimes I've said this, and I hear other Christians say this as well. But when they make a decision, they may say, "I feel the Lord is leading me in this direction," or "I felt led to do A, B, C, or X, Y, and Z." And that's all good and great, But never in scripture does God's people say, I feel the Lord is leading me. They'll either say, the Lord has led me, or thus saith the Lord, or God wants me to, or God has led me. And my point here is that we shouldn't blame God for our feelings. We need to take ownership and responsibility for the way we feel. Say, I want to move in a different direction, or God wants me to move in a different direction. You either know it's from God or you don't know it's from God. Don't associate your feelings for God's will. And a lot of times I think we do that when the situation is uncomfortable for us. So since it's an uncomfortable situation, God must not be calling me to do this because I'm not comfortable with doing that. And God wouldn't call me to do something that I'm not comfortable with doing. And I think we need to be careful with that mindset, and we need to go to the Lord in prayer to say, Lord, not my will, but your will be done. What is it that you want me to do? God doesn't always call us to comfortable situations and comfortable circumstances. God doesn't always call us to do the comfortable thing. Let us look at verses 40 to 43. Then he came to the disciples and found them sleeping, and said to Peter, what, could you not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray, lest you enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. Again, a second time, he went away and prayed, saying, O my Father, if this cup cannot pass away from me unless I drink it, your will be done. And he came and found them asleep again, for their eyes were heavy. The fourth thing that Jesus did here is that Jesus knew God's expectation of obedience despite his feelings and despite his circumstances. We already touched on the point that God calls us sometimes to painful things, to do painful things, and to situations that are uncomfortable for us, situations that may seem weird, crazy, or may not make so much sense to us. In fact, when Jesus told his disciples that he would have to suffer and die on the cross, they didn't fully understand it. Peter even said, this shall not happen to you, Lord, and Jesus rebuked him. The idea of Jesus leaving and dying on the cross seemed weird, crazy, and didn't make much sense to them at the time when he told them. But despite all of that, despite the difficult circumstance Jesus found himself in, getting ready to be betrayed, to be beaten, to be mocked, to be crucified, Jesus didn't turn his back on God's will. Jesus was fully obedient to God's will. And then we also see in verse 42, in his second prayer in the Garden of Gethsemane, Jesus is not so much expressing his feelings now, but he is focusing in on the will of God. He knows that he must drink the bitter cup of God's wrath for the penalty of our sin. He embraces the fact that he must die and that he is willing to do God's will no matter what. And he concludes the prayer again by acknowledging his obedience to God's will despite the uncomfortable and painful circumstance he is in and is about to experience on the cross. Not my will, but your will be done. And also, when we look back at verses 40 and 41, we see that Peter, James, and John were sleeping instead of being obedient to God, the command of Jesus Christ when he said to them to watch with him as he prayed. Peter, James, and John were tired. They wanted to sleep. That's how they felt at the time. But Jesus told them to stay up. That's the difficult circumstance they found themselves in, having to stay up when you're extremely tired because the Lord has commanded you to do so. Jesus knew they were tired when he commanded them to watch with him as he prayed. So despite the fact that Peter, James, and John were in this difficult circumstance of staying up while they're extremely tired, Jesus still expected them to be obedient. So in the same way, God expects us to be obedient despite the difficult circumstances or situations that we find ourselves in. And the disciples' difficult situation and circumstance of being extremely tired while having to obey the commandment of staying awake doesn't even compare or doesn't even come close to the Lord Jesus' difficult circumstance of having to go to the cross and to having to take on all of our sin, having the sins of the world imputed onto him, and then having to bleed and to die for the sins of the world, for the penalty of our sin, as well as to provide for our salvation, those who put our faith and trust in him. But Jesus was obedient fully unto death. Jesus' humanity was able to identify and sympathize with Peter and the other disciples' weakness of being tired. Jesus knew how they felt. Jesus slept as a man. Jesus got tired as a man. Jesus can identify with people sleeping in the sanctuary. In fact, some of you may be sleeping right now. Jesus can identify with you. And I'm guilty of doing it sometimes myself. It's not good, but I am guilty of it, I can admit. And Jesus can identify with what you're going through. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 15 says that, "For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin." Jesus can identify with us, yet he was without sin, and he was the perfect sacrifice for the penalty of our sins. Jesus goes on to say, "The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak." Sleeping isn't wrong, but sleeping when God's will is for you to be awake is disobedient and wrong. We need to be obedient to God despite our feelings and our circumstances. Our feelings and our circumstances are no excuse for our shortcomings, for our failures, and for our sins. God expects our obedience despite our feelings and our circumstances. Let's look at verse 44. "So he left them, went away again, and prayed the third time, saying the same words." Here we see that Jesus prayed multiple times about the cup he was about to drink. And in the same way, we should pray multiple times for major people, places, things, and decisions in our lives and situations that we find ourselves in. That doesn't mean that for every person or situation, we need to pray more than once. What this simply means is that for certain people, places, things, situations in our lives, and major decisions, we need to talk to God about them more than once. It can't be a quick wham, bam, zoom, and boom prayer. For certain people, places, and things, we need to pray multiple times. Major situations in our lives and major decisions, we need to pray about with God and communicate with God honestly about before making a decision just based upon our feelings. So we need to obey God's will. And let's look on in verses 45 and 46. "Then he came to his disciples and said to them, 'Are you still sleeping and resting? Behold, the hour is at hand, and the Son of Man is being betrayed into the hands of sinners. Rise, let us be going. See, my betrayer is at hand.'" You know, questions that we need to ask ourselves here. In verse 45, Jesus came to his disciples again and said, "Are you still sleeping and resting?" The translation and the application for us is, are you still putting your will over God's will in your life? Are you still following your feelings instead of following God's leading? Are you still putting your feelings above God's calling? You see, doing God's will can be easy for us when times are smooth, but doing God's will is difficult when times are tough. It's easy for us to do God's will when things are smooth, but what happens when times get tough? Do we falter or do we continue to do God's will? It's easy to do God's will when God's will is aligned with our feelings, when we feel good about what God is asking us to do. But what happens when God asks us to do something that we don't feel so good about? When he asks us to do something that's not in line with our feelings? Do we falter or are we fully obedient to God's will despite our situation and circumstances? What if you don't feel like doing what God has called you to do? Are we willing to stand on God's word? Are we willing to stand on God's will? Are we willing to stand on God's way? You know, in Matthew chapter 12, verse 40 and 41, the religious leaders were asking Jesus for a sign that he was the Messiah. And he says, "An evil and perverse generation seeks a sign, and no sign shall be given to you except this." And he goes on to compare and contrast himself with Jonah. Now, in verse 41, he contrasts himself in Matthew chapter 12 with Jonah, letting you know that he's greater than Jonah. One greater than Jonah is here, and Jesus is far greater than Jonah. But in verse 40, he compared himself with Jonah when he said that just as Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights, so the Son of Man will be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. Jonah, if we remember the story, didn't feel like doing God's will. So he decided to disobey God and wound up in the belly of a great fish. Then he prayed, he was spat out the belly of the fish, and what should have been a 3 days walk or journey to Nineveh became a 1 day walk for Jonah. Jonah preaches to the Ninevites, and the Ninevites, after hearing the preaching of God's word, they repent by turning away from their sin and turning towards God. Guess what? Jonah finally did God's will. But he was still upset about the Ninevites turning to God, and he was upset that the city of Nineveh would be spared from God's judgment. He was so upset that he prayed to God that he would die. Jonah still didn't feel good about God's will, even though he had eventually done God's will. The point is that we're not always going to feel good about what God is calling us to do, but God expects us to be obedient to whatever it is he has called us to do. We don't have to feel good about it. We just have to do it. Jesus on the cross was a painful, excruciating experience. He didn't feel good about the pain that he was going through, but he felt good about being obedient to God's will. Are you willing to lay down your life for Jesus? Are we willing to lay down our lives for God? Are we willing to obey God no matter what he's calling us to do? When it comes to dealing with difficult decisions during difficult times, we need to go to God in prayer, just as Jesus did, and we need to honestly express how we're feeling to God. We also need to put God's will over our feelings. We need to be able to differentiate between our feelings and God's will. We shouldn't confuse our feelings for God's will. Just because we feel uncomfortable doing something doesn't mean it's not God's will for us to do it. We should know that God expects our obedience despite our feelings and our circumstances. We can't use our feelings and circumstances as an excuse not to do God's will, not to obey God. There is no excuse. And we all fall short at times. It says, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." It says, "The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life." That's why Jesus had to go to the cross, because he loved us so much. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life." He paid the price, the penalty for our sin, and provided for our salvation, those of us who would put our trust in him. And finally, we need to pray multiple times when we are dealing with difficult decisions during difficult times, so that we could find the strength from God to do his will despite our feelings, despite our circumstances. We should be fully obedient to the will of God. Amen? All right, let us just bow our heads in prayer, and a bit early today. All right. Dear God, our Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. Thank you that you have provided your word to us. We have such easy access to your word to know what you expect from us, to know your will, Father God. We thank you that we also have access to you through your Son, Jesus Christ, through prayer. We are thankful that you do hear our prayers and you do care about our feelings. I pray that we'll be able to honestly express our feelings to you, God, as well as to our fellow brothers and sisters in Christ, so that we may be able to pray for one another and bear each other's burdens. I pray, Father God, that we would continue to do your will, Father God, even when times are difficult, even when we don't feel like doing what it is you've called us to do. Help us to be fully obedient by the example of your Son, Jesus Christ, the author and finisher of our faith. I pray now, Father God, as we are getting ready to be dismissed and go back out to a dark world, that we would be a shining light, bright examples of you, Father God, that when people see us, they'll see your Son, Jesus Christ, that we would be able to effectively communicate the gospel to a lost and dying world, that God's only Son provides eternal life, and that those who hear can believe and join with our fellowship. And our fellowship is truly with you, God, and with your Son, Jesus Christ. And we ask these things in your Son, Jesus Christ's holy and precious name. Amen.